Well, a couple notes here before we take your phone calls with Harry Dent. My first event of the year, it's in Los Angeles. It's coming up on Saturday. So if you're in the greater Los Angeles area and you want to come on by, simply go to our website, click the highlight reel, and you'll see the event and come on out and say hi. And also, just came back from Denver where we taped four more really fun programs for Beyond Belief, our television show. One of them, the person collects and investigates macabre artwork. You will not believe it. Anyways, if you want to look at it, 10 days free, go to beyondbelief.com. Welcome back, Harry Dent with us. Harry, the Federal Reserve pumping $75 billion a month into the economy. If they pulled out altogether, what would happen?
Oh, we would be in a downturn within 6 to 12 months. Again, the demographic trends in spending peaked in 2007, as we predicted 20 years ago. Debt levels are so far above anything we've seen in history, and they weigh on our economy. Without this stimulus, the economy goes down. But even with it, stimulus has less and less effect, like any drug. You take more and more of a drug until you fall over. I think all these things are going to conspire to create a downturn this year, starting in the next couple of months.
What do you recommend people do?
Again, we've had a bubble, and people who are in stocks or real estate or anything else, it's gone back up, you know, by the magic of the government stimulus.
Sure.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Take your gains, get conservative, protect what you have, and wait for this next crash to happen. Again, it's happening time and time again. 2000, 2002 crash, 2008-09 crash. We're going to see another crash that is going to be bigger. I'm staking my entire reputation on this. We're going to see a great crash, even greater, between early 2014 and 2015 or 16. And I think stocks will go and other assets lower by 2019 or 2020, when most of our cycles bottom out and start to slowly, and I mean slowly, turn up again. So you just have to say, look, you know, protect what you have is the number one.
What will a war do to this equation?
Well, wars are good for the economy. World War II helped bring us out of the Great Depression, but my demographic indicators would have told you that in the early 1940s, the Bob Hope generation would have been spending more money and brought us out anyway. But no, wars are good for the economy. They're bad for a lot of other things, like oil prices and things. But I don't see a war near term, except in the Middle East. But that's minor. We do not have a situation like World War One and World War Two.
Well, unless
where major nations could fight a major war, we don't have World War III ahead of us yet.
Yet, but I mean, stupider things have happened, Harry. You know, and if Israel's pulled in, and let's say, China does something to Japan for some reason, then I think we have a bigger conflict.
Well, you know, again, George, I agree with you. There are so many triggers. I did a thing in one of my newsletters where I said there's like 13 triggers and more that could set off another thing. People don't realize that the subprime crisis in the United States, just four states, California, Nevada, Arizona, and Florida, set off a worldwide stock crash and near depression before governments just threw trillions of dollars to offset it. We don't need much here. I mean, the Middle East is in an Arab Spring. India is even going into its own Arab, spring, revolt. We have so many things that could go wrong in the world that could trigger this. That's why I'm telling people the time is now. Be safe. Protect what you have in any way you can, and wait to see if this crisis happens. And I'm saying it's going, the next crisis is going to happen between early 2014 and late 2016. And we're going to see another crisis beyond that by my cycles between 2018 and 19 or 2020. Just protect what you have. And yes, you may even want to store some food and stuff. I mean, this is this type of time. We have bubbled up so much that if the governments fail here in this artificial stimulus, and it's all artificial after 2007, look out. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? And the last place I would want to be, George, is in China.
Yeah.
The greatest bubble in history. Smog off the charts, overbuilding of everything, real estate more overvalued than anywhere in the world. Oh, my God. I would not want to be in China when this thing goes down.
To the phones now we go. We'll go to Carlos in Carson, California. Carlos, welcome to the program.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Dent. You know, the elitists for hundreds of years, as you mentioned, have been artificially creating these inflationary and depressionary periods. And they use the opportunity, of course, during the depressions to take over the assets, the resources of people that lose their assets and gradually enhance their power. But ultimately, I believe that their final agenda is when there is the final crash, they want to create a, use it as an opportunity during the anarchy that's going to take place to create a world government. Now, I don't see it going beyond the two crashes that you see as imminently coming before they set up the world government. I just want your opinion on that.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, we are seeing these crashes. We're going to see more. Governments are trying to prevent this necessary, as in history, debt deleveraging and financial asset deleveraging. And I mean, even things like health care and education costs are off the charts, so that young people in the future could never even have a hope of the American dream or any dream in any country. We need this reset. But I think it's going to happen because we do get a meltdown in the markets again. We do get a crisis that becomes even greater. And then people finally realize at every level that we can't prevent this crisis. We are bankrupt. We have overpromised benefits and entitlements. We are over in debt, debts that we can never pay. And to me, the ultimate thing is that the young generation coming along now would never have a chance of surviving what we've done here. So we need this great reset. It is going to be violent. It is going to be devastating when it happens, like the 1930s. But when it happens, we will all get more real, and we will make some major changes in political policies that we are not willing to make now, and we will get beyond this polarization between Republicans and Democrats and poor and rich. And I tell you, the rich are going to get their ass kicked more than anybody here in the next decade because they own all these financial assets that have bubbled up. So it's very hard to conceive for most people, but I study history, and I'm telling you, there are great resets throughout history after great debt and asset bubbles, and they are always painful, but they always work out for the better in the end, and they work out the best for the middle class people. I think our middle class is going to come back again after this reset, but only after we have this crisis.
Here's a barometer, Harry. I mean, we saw what happened in 2008 to the automobile market, right? GM had to beg the government, and the government had to go to GM to save that huge corporation. Ford stock went down. Now Ford is selling at a pretty good high, and GM is cruising along. Car sales are clicking. Is that a barometer all by itself? People are buying cars right now.
Well, I tell you, George, in our whole spending cycle for families, cars are the last thing that peak. Housing peaks around age 41. overall spending on furniture and a lot of things peaks at age 46. The last thing people peak on is cars at age 53, and that is coming in the next year. Car sales are going to go down, and RVs, recreational vehicles, are going to go up. We look at demographics from cradle to grave, macro to micro, and I'm telling you, you can see so many trends coming that nobody sees coming, like light trucks to heavy trucks, or and sports cars to luxury cars and stuff. I mean, this stuff is so predictable from things we do predictably as we age, and economists don't see this, and governments don't see this. So there's going to be a lot of changes we can see ahead, but you got to look at demographics.
Sure. Why are RV sales going to go up? People are going to live in them?
Yeah. No. The biggest thing, George, motorcycle sales peaked the most in the 40s. RVs grow the most. The most of spending on RVs is from age 53 to age 60.
Really?
In the coming day. Yeah. No, I have a whole research report on this. We do this in all our books. We look at everything people do, camping equipment. 53 to 60, it's one of the most exaggerated spending states. As people look to retire, they buy an RV, not everybody. So car sales are going to plummet in the next few years, and RVs are going to continue to go straight up. So what does that tell you about business? What does that tell you about stocks?
As long as people don't become Walter White.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke. Breaking Bad, you ever watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, you bought an RV. Let's go to Bob in Maui, west of the Rockies. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, aloha, George. It's good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for a while.
You too, Bob.
And, Harry, it's just such a pleasure to talk to you. I agree that cash was king, but that was back in 1929 and 30. When it was backed by gold and silver. In fact, they used to say the dollar was as good as gold. So I have a question. Because the dollar now is fiat, not backed by anything, would it be the same thing? Would cash really be king now compared to back in the time when you actually could carry a $20 gold piece around in your pocket? That was the money. Gold was the actual true money. I know because I was born in the middle of the Depression.
Yes.
And what really paid off in those days was booze. The bars did a great job at that time. But I was digressing. I'm sorry. That's my question.
You know, first of all, I say if you want something in a downturn with any civil unrest, I want bourbon bottles and shotgun shells. That's what people will want to trade, not Krugerrands. I mean, gold was the standard in the past. It was consistent with a commodity economy in the 1700s and 1800s and beyond. But it's not now. Gold is not the monetary standard. It is a little bit. And we're in an information economy that grows far faster than commodities like gold do. So to me, gold is not the protection here. Yeah, you can say it's real money, but real money what? You're going to take a Krugerrand and go into a convenience store and buy what? You'd have to buy the whole store at some point. I would rather have little silver coins in a downturn, but really, I really would want to have something tradable. And I think gold has been overrated in this era. And I have proven, and I have a whole chapter in the demographic cliff that shows that, yes, money has expanded over the last century, but so has our standard of living 8 times. So when people say we've debased our dollar because we've created more dollars than gold or something, we need to create more dollars to facilitate a more urban environment with higher trade and stuff, just like microchips do for computers. More microchips at lower prices create greater growth. So it's hard to understand, and I spent a lot of time in my book on this, but gold does represent something real. but it does not represent the economy we have today versus 50 or 100 years ago. It just doesn't, and it can't. All of the gold in the world could fit in an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Probably. Probably. Yeah. Let's go to Tom in Milwaukee. Welcome to the program, Tom. Go ahead.
Oh, hello there.
Hi, Tom.
George, I really am a coast lover, and I really appreciate your talent for asking just the right questions all the time. And but my question about the I wanted to see about if you could explain what deflation is and how, you know, what would precipitate a deflationary environment, and just to explain what deflation is and what would be the result of a deflationary spiral. Like,
wow, I mean, great question. And first of all, I agree with you. George asks good questions, and this audience is skeptical, and that's what you need to be right now. Deflation happens only for one major reason over time. And again, I've studied history for hundreds of years. When you create a lot of debt and financial asset bubbles, you're creating money out of thin air, both through the financial assets going up like stocks and stuff, and debt beyond what we can earn and spend. When that debt bubble collapses, as it did in the 1830s and 40s and the 1930s, and what is starting to happen now, you destroy money. Debt creates money, and when debts fail and banks fail, these debts get restructured or written off, and you destroy money. When stocks go from 17,000 on the Dow, which I'm predicting, to 5,000, money that people had and their wealth gets destroyed overnight. It destroys money, and that means there's less money chasing the same goods and services as before. That's the classic definition of deflation. The gold bugs say we're printing money, so therefore we got to have hyperinflation. But already after 5 years of the greatest money printing in all of history, anywhere and globally, inflation is 0 to 2% in most countries, and even negative in some. So it shows you that money printing alone doesn't create inflation. It's whether it's lent or spent. And when assets and debts deflate and deleverage, this money is destroyed. It's deflationary. And when deflation comes in, it means, as we said earlier in the program, you buy assets at the lowest prices in history, like 1933 or 1843. If you had bought any real estate or stock or asset or business in these lows of deflation, you would have made money for decades.
Yeah, that's true. But you have to have cash to make it. Harry, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Charles Hall joins us, his incredible story of his work at the Yanelis Air Force Base. So make sure you're part of that show. And we're going to come back in a moment with Harry Dent, author of The Demographic Cliff, and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Harry Dent with us. Harry, we'll take some final calls here. Have you been following this Bitcoin craze, Harry?
You know, I have. It looks like another bubble to me. There could be something to this, but I mean, I tell you, the U.S. currency is not going to die here. In the last crash, the U.S. dollar went up 27% while everything else went down. We are the safe haven. We have 20 aircraft carriers. The next countries have two at best, and France has the SS Croissant, as I call it. You know, I think people are overreacting to this currency thing.
Interesting take. Okay, let's go to the phones. Denton in the state of Washington, first-time caller. Denton, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I just had a question for Mr. Dent. What does he think about the president, you know, signing the most executive orders into law, you know, more than any other president in history? What does he think about martial law and deflation? I'll take my answer off there.
All right. That's always that possibility, some kind of unrest, Harry.
Well, you know, I do think, since we are so polarized between, you know, Democrats and Republicans, that the Republicans say debt can't keep going up, and I agree with them on that. The Democrats say, yeah, but you're, you know, blocking progress and hurting the poor and stuff. This is a debate that cannot be settled unless we have a crisis. My whole theory here is that after the greatest bubble in history and entitlements that are beyond anything that could ever be paid, and debt at the government level and private levels, which are three times, we have to come to grips with this debt crisis, and we will only restructure this debt and restructure these entitlements and everything else when we have a crisis. And I think that crisis is coming in the next 6 years, especially in the next 2 to 3 years. So I don't expect any political resolution here ahead of time. It won't happen. But I do think we'll see incredible political resolutions when we're in a crisis. And that's not just from me studying history. I used to consult the businesses that were going under, and they only became clear and did the right thing when they were damn near bankrupt. And then they did it and got into reality. So it's a difficult thing to say this, but I think we need a crisis here, and governments are preventing this crisis from happening.
Okay, let's go to our international line. Alex is with us in Arapoca, Puerto Rico. Alex, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. First, a comment that you might want to expand on, and then a question.
Sure.
The comment is there are a few different types of inflation. You're talking about consumer spending and the consumer spending, consumer price index. But there's also the inflation of just printing money. And the Fed has been printing money for so long, I think they have a really hard time saying, now we're going to destroy $2 trillion or $20 trillion, you know, out of the economy. The only way they could really do that is to stop selling treasury bills for, well, let's say, cut the number of sales in half for 10 years. And even then, it would only be maybe 1 or 2% of the economy. And my question is, Bob from Oahu kind of touched on it. I don't think that cash is really going to be very good in the future because just currency systems collapse, you know, throughout the world. So what should we be putting our money into? So far, I've mainly been buying a few firearms and mainly stocking up on food packing supplies so I can package food that I could later resell if necessary. And I've also been buying a lot of ammunition.
A lot of people are doing that.
For reloading.
Okay, Harry, go ahead.
Well, again, people think the dollar's going to go down. Currencies trade relative to each other. They're not like stocks that have a value based on earnings projected in the future and, you know, interest rates and stuff like that. I don't think the dollar is going to go down. I think it's going to go up like it did. I keep telling people, believe what you want to believe, but look at the crisis of 2008. Gold, hard assets, everything, stocks went down, real estate, and the U.S. dollar went up versus other currencies. So, yes, you do need to have tradable assets, whether it be shotgun shells or, you know, beans or something. If things get worse than even I expect, which I think could happen, but don't think that the U.S. dollar is going to go down and your currency is going to go down. A dollar will buy something in your locale, whether it be Puerto Rico or the United States, and somebody that has a dollar will be able to buy something. But if you have something more tradable, that's even better. So it takes a lot more than I can present here. I give major presentations about why the U.S. dollar is not going to go down, and currencies trade relative to each other. And it's a different thing, and people don't understand that. People think if you print money, then currencies have to go down. But everybody's printing money. We're not the only ones in the United States. And Puerto Rico has the biggest debt crisis in the whole American arena. And I would worry more about debt in Puerto Rico than the U.S. dollar.
We have now Michael in Waldron Island, Washington. Go ahead on the wild card line, Michael.
Great show, George. And I've deemed him Mr. Bubble, respectively. I have a couple questions. It kind of was answered last time. There's the common man, I think, which is mostly the man that listens to your program, that doesn't have a lot of money, that lives from month to month. And I'm on Social Security. Is that safe?
Well, you know, I tell you, I think it's somewhat safe for the everyday person like you. For higher income people, I think Social Security is not going to ever happen. My whole thing, and I do this in Chapter 9 of the Demographic Cliff book, we have no chance of paying all the entitlements that the governments, like in the United States or any country, or even most corporations or municipalities have pledged. There's no way they're going to be able to be paid in a slower economy with slower demographics and a smaller generation following a larger generation. That's the whole point of the Demographic Cliff book. The world's going to change when a smaller generation follows a larger generation. We have never seen this since the Great Plague in the 1300s. This is going to change everything. So, yes, protect what you have. And yes, if you're an everyday person, you are likely to get more of Social Security and things, but a lot of people are never going to see these benefits as we go forward. So you have to say, I have to build my own security and investments to protect against this.
What do you think of Switzerland and countries like that? Are they strong?
They are strong, but I have a graph, George, that shows that Germany and Switzerland, Austria, and other countries like that in Central Europe are going to go off the biggest demographic cliff since Japan in the early 1990s. They think, oh, yeah, they're strong. They're fiscally responsible. They're hardworking people. Yeah, well, so were the Japanese in the late 1980s. But when their demographics turned against them, I'm telling you, the demographics in Switzerland, Austria, Germany are some of the worst in the next decade of any countries in the world. And they are going to have problems. And Switzerland is a banking nation, not a watchmaking nation, as people picture them. And banking is the center of this entire crisis over debt and leverage and lending to other countries. I would not put my money in Switzerland or Swiss francs now. I would put them in U.S. dollars.
You are bullish on the U.S. dollars, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I think it's the safe haven, as 2008 proved, not gold, not silver, not Switzerland, not the euro. And the euro, oh, my God, why would anybody buy euros when it's not even a credible currency like the U.S. dollar is? And we've got problems, they've got problems, everybody's got problems. But I keep saying the United States is the best house in a bad neighborhood. And I'm going in February for a three-week tour there in Australia. Australia is the best country I would invest in the future for developed countries, because they have such high immigration and demographics. So, again, I can't explain, but so much here. Our book does this as much as I can, but I'm telling you, the world is going to change dramatically in the next few years, in the next decade, and you've got to get real about where there's opportunity and not, and make decisions about where to invest and not.
Good point. Let's take a few more calls. Joanne is in Bend, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, George. First of all, I would like to tell you just how much I enjoy listening to your show, and I listen to it just about every night.
Thank you.
Mr. Dent, I'm wondering if you could expand on how to protect oneself, and I'd like to give you my personal situation. Perhaps it'll help someone else as well. I'm a divorced woman, so I am on my own, and I'm looking at what do I do to protect myself. I have I've taken the advice I've heard so far about buying precious metals, and I'm getting ready to start taking from an IRA, which is in stocks. And my broker says you'll be okay as long as you're diversified. So, and you know, when you start cashing out an IRA, it's treated as income. So I would like you to give me some advice as to where do I go from now?
Well, real quickly, John, diversification works most of the time, but it doesn't work when a bubble, a major bubble burst, like in 2008 and what I see in the next few years. Everything goes down, real estate, commodities, gold, silver, large cap stocks, small cap stocks, international stocks, everything went down. China stock went down 70% more than the U.S., even though they didn't have a recession. So you have to protect what you have. That's the key thing. Cash and cash flow are key when there's a deflationary, deleveraging cycle after a major bubble boom in debt and financial assets. Everything goes down. So the best thing to do is just get safe. If you're an everyday person and you got a IRA or 401k plan, just get in the safest investments right now and earn nothing and be happy with that and let this bubble burst, which I think is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, and then reinvest in the best things like emerging countries and medical healthcare things in the United States, which still have demographic trends behind them. Do that after the crash. I would say don't even think about reinvesting until we see a Dow of 5,000 to 6,000. That's my target in the next crash. Boom, bust, boom, bust.
How long will it take to go from the 16 to the 5 or the 17 by that
point? 1.5 to 2.5 years. Every major crash in the last couple decades have taken 1.5 to 2.5 years. Even the Great Depression only took almost 3 years. So the next crash will take, let's say, 1.5 to 2.5 years.
All right. Will it be one step forward, two steps back? So, you know, it may go down to, let's say, 12,000. It may go back up to 13, then it may go down to 10. Will it work like that or be a continuous downward trend?
No. You're right, George. It doesn't go straight down. There'll be collapses, there'll be rebounds, there'll be collapses. But, you know, most people can't play that. And I have a newsletter and I try to predict these things short term, but it's not as easy as predicting the long term trends I predict, which is a slam dunk for me. Yeah, you just have to say, look, if I'm an everyday investor, things are good now. I need to protect myself and wait for the next crash. If you see the Dow at 5,000 to 6,000 2 or 3 years from now, then you can reinvest again. But right now, even long-term statistics show that if you invest in stocks right now at these high valuations and prices, your odds of making money in the next decade are -3% at worst per year and +1% at best. This is not a good game.
Okay, let's take one or two more calls. We go next to Joe in Canada. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the air. It's a real pleasure to talk to you, George, and
right.
Mr. Dent. My question for you tonight is when I stand back and I look at China, I see them being the number one importer of precious metals over the last probably half a decade, and they're shipping that either from Britain right into Switzerland and getting it re-stamped and sent right to them. Now, if they're switching
are starting to reduce their supply of U.S. dollars, wouldn't that affect the overall, I guess, weight of their holdings in U.S. dollar? Are they basically saying, you know, we're not trusting the U.S. dollar as much as we would, and we're diversifying out into a maybe a safer, more tangible asset?
Well, I mean, they're doing that to some degree, but you have to realize, I mean, one of the things that caused gold to collapse in early 2013 was Indians. India is the biggest buyer of gold, and their rupee started to collapse, and that made gold prices go up, and so they reduced their purchases of gold. China is the second biggest buyer of gold in the entire world, after India, close second. And so if my whole point of view is China has the biggest bubble in history, and it is going to collapse. If it doesn't collapse in the next 2 years, I will eat my hat in front of the public. I'm telling you, I've studied bubbles throughout all of history. China is the biggest bubble, government-driven. Who would, you know, trust a government to drive your economy and not make any mistakes? China has overexpanded everything. They're going to burst. If China bursts, that is going to kill gold.
Yeah, it probably will. Harry, the book, of course, it's out, The Demographic Cliff. You can get it on Amazon and major bookstores, I assume?
Yes, and you know, George, we have a free newsletter at harrydent.com, a daily newsletter lets people learn what we say about current events and long-term trends, just like we've been talking here. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
I like free, Harry. I like free. All right, take care of yourself.
We will.
Dr. Harry Bent. Harry Dent has been on our program for years, and he is right. His predictions are pretty darn uncanny. I'm going to come back in a moment. Charles Hall joins us. The Tall Whites on Coast to Coast AM.